This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
We have actually just gotten back from a very fun lunchtime. Before we started recording this podcast, we checked out a custom cookie cutter shop and we were on the hunt for Christmas decorations. However, we had a revelation whilst in the store.
The revelation is that women seem to reach a certain age where they just don't care what other people think anymore.
And I really respect it because we were in the store and we were specifically there for Christmas cookie cutters. We wanted a Santa one and a pudding. However, they weren't on display and we really didn't have the balls to ask if they were out the back. But this woman came in. She was just literally knew what she wanted. She asked for it very assertively.
She also put down the cookie cutters.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's not big enough.
Yeah, I loved it. It was hilarious and it was great because we piggybacked off the back of her asking for things. We're like, yeah, can we have one of those as well?
Don't you find though, when you are with a person who has hit that age where they don't really care anymore what people think, you find yourself almost having to apologize for them. You become extra nice to shop assistants.
Oh my God. I had this when I went for breakfast with a former colleague of mine. She is so lovely. However, there wasn't a table available for us inside. So she gave this waiter hell. And I had to be like, I'm so sorry. Yes, this is perfect and everything. And then he asked us if we wanted coffees and she's like, I don't drink coffee. And it was just like, oh my gosh, you feel so bad because they're not actually doing anything wrong. But I feel like, as you were saying, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're kind of apologetic to those people serving you because you remember what it was like having to serve people.
Kate, can I just say though, I think you're going to hit that age of not caring pretty soon.
Why?
Because remember when we went to Singapore, we went, Kate, Soph and I and our two male cousins, and we went to this restaurant and they served us these horrible dishes. And we all made Kate complain because she was the only one who had the balls and you were so rude to the people.
I wasn't rude. The food was inedible and it was expensive. So I just said, look, no one's eaten the food. Literally, my poor cousin Stewie, who was, I think, like 15 at the time, was left with me. Amy, Sophie, Cameron, just bolted out of there.
But also, remember you had to rearrange what rooms we had when we went to Penang? You demanded that we have the top level room
because you'd been there seven times before.
I had literally been there, I think this was, as Amy said, my seventh or eighth time at the hotel. And normally I get a room on the fourth floor. Now, this room was on the first floor with a restricted view. Now, I don't think that's how you treat returning customers.
See what I mean? I feel like Kate's only a few years away from being like fully blown, not caring what any shop assistants think.
Well, Kate is very close to the name Karen. So I hope that doesn't turn into that sort of middle-aged complaining to the manager name.
I would love people to go to the Outspoken Facebook community and share what age you think it is where women just stop caring what shop assistants think. And also, I'd love to hear any stories where you've been out with somebody who's maybe a little bit older than you when they've been rude to a shop assistant and you've had to apologize.
Or maybe if you've been on the other end of it and you are the shop assistant having to deal with someone like that.
Now I'm going to butt in. I was very flattered over the weekend because a listener wrote in asking us how old we were and we replied, we're 31. And quite a few people seem shocked by this, which, you know, was a bit of a pump up the old tires.
But now, I'm hoping you mean shocked that we don't actually look 31. It's not the reverse.
Someone wrote in asking if we were 23, and I think I'm going to stick with that age.
Can I just say, people who are listening and they're in their 20s, their early 20s, enjoy it because you quickly get to 30 and, you know,
you don't feel it.
You don't feel it at all. I feel 23 anyway.
Yeah, but I think your 30s are your best years. I've enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
You can never have enough hats, gloves and shoes.
Micro-influencer and stylist Caitlin Rodriguez has announced she's launching an e-commerce platform for fellow influencers to sell clothes they've been gifted by brands. She says the platform is designed to keep clothes out of landfill. However, with influencers happy to take lucrative paychecks to promote fast fashion brands, many believe the platform is just an avenue for influencers to profit even further. Now, before we get into it, for those who don't know, Amy, who is Caitlin Rodriguez?
Well, Caitlin Rodriguez is the best friend of influencer Madison Woolley, and the pair have recently started a podcast, so a few people know her from the podcast, and she lives in a loft apartment, and that's really all we know about Caitlin, other than the fact that she is also a stylist.
Well, she has clocked up over 27,000 followers on Instagram, but many people think that's just because of her association with influencers like Madison Woolley and Isabel Clarke. She has also attended a brand trip recently. However, that's the first time I've seen her doing any sort of proper promotion on her Instagram channel.
Now, interestingly, her boyfriend actually runs the Bondi Bazaar markets, where she has been known to sell clothes before. And obviously this ties in because she is a stylist. Now, Caitlin announced on her podcast that she is launching a new business called Wasteless. And the business is an e-commerce platform where influencers can sell the free fast fashion clothes they got from brands. Now, Wasteless is said to take all of the hard work out of selling the clothes for the influencer. So basically, a courier picks up the clothes from the influencer's house. Caitlin takes all the photos and then uploads them to this new platform to sell. Now, apparently 10% of the money goes to charity, and it's not disclosed how much of a percentage that Wasteless takes.
Well, or the influencers themselves, because there must be some incentive for them to actually provide the clothes to Wasteless. So it seems like the influencers are basically double dipping into a deal that they've already got, because they not only get free clothes from the brand, they potentially get paid for a brand deal to promote the clothing, but then they're also getting money to resell the clothes to their impressionable followers.
And that's what I felt really uncomfortable about, because I feel like this platform has been sold as some ethical business that, you know, stops clothes from being put in landfills, but I just think it's not as ethical as it's being made out to be.
I find it very ironic, this ethos behind the ethics of where these clothes are going, particularly because the influencers who are using this platform are willing to take big paychecks by fast fashion brands and promote these brands and essentially drive the sales of this fast fashion, which is then filling landfills. However, they're going, oh no, no, but the clothes I get, I'm ethically disposing of.
And for those who don't know what fast fashion is, it is the rapid production of low quality clothes that are increasingly treated as though they are disposable. And the scary thing is that social media is really fueling this consumerism. And it's these influencers who are being used as pawns in this game. If you take a look at Fashion Nova, this is the most popular fashion brand on Instagram. They have over 14 million followers, and they were the first ones to really engage influencers in this sort of way. And they've become the most Googled brand alongside Gucci and Louis Vuitton. And every week they introduce 600 to 900 new pieces of clothing.
What, they're like, as in particular different items of clothing that then will, they'll then sell en masse?
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My God.
So it's absolutely staggering to think about how many pieces of clothing just one social media post can generate. For instance, you touched on the fact that influencers seem to be getting this clout because they seem to be recycling these clothes. But one post they put up is encouraging hundreds of thousands of women to contribute to fast fashion. How can you possibly be the face of something and then stand against it?
The thing I find so funny is that all of this use of influencer marketing started because followers were actually genuinely interested what these people were using and wearing. So it was a lot more organic. And now, obviously, Instagram has turned into one of the biggest marketing platforms in the world. And obviously, brands are going to be using influencers to promote their clothing. However, I just feel really funny about the fact that, you know, I would used to follow Sammy Robinson, and I would buy makeup that she used because I thought it looked amazing on her. But the fact is, it's now become so obvious that these influencers don't even have a connection with these brands. And the fact that they're then willing to say, oh, I'm using this platform to then on-sell these clothing that I clearly don't even wear other than putting it on my Instagram feed, is just making that brand collaboration so disingenuous.
But they're stuffing it up for themselves as well, because they're going to become irrelevant, because they're just like a commercial on TV now. Well, that's not real.
And what brand is going to want to partner with them?
Also, part of the marketing of this platform Caitlin's created was centered around picking an influencer whose clothes you want. So it's not even like influencers can secretly donate these, well, not even donate, but give these clothes over to Caitlin for her to promote and sell. You're literally going, oh, I want to buy Madison Woolley's Nasty Girl clothing. I'm going to pick her.
And that's where the issue lies, because these influencers cannot be anonymous when giving their clothes. So basically, they are essentially undercutting the brand who is paid to work with them, because they are directly selling their product back at a cheaper price to their followers who want to get that product from the brand.
And they'll want it more because that influencer has actually physically touched it and worn it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, worn it for a split second. Mm. Also, can I make a point about those clothing holes? Has anyone heard of an iron? I've seen so many clothing holes, and the clothing is just crumpled. And you think, wow, you guys are being paid a lot of money. I would say some would be being paid between $10,000 and $20,000 to promote the clothing, which they're then just on selling, making more money.
Well, that's what we have to remember, that influencing is, of course, a business. And, you know, we did touch on the fact that these are free gifted clothes. Obviously, some of these people don't just get gifted clothes. They get paid thousands of dollars to post up a photo in the clothes or to do clothing hauls. And they require the clothes to obviously complete that job. So some people have been of the opinion that what influencers choose to do with the clothes is their business and they can make a profit if they choose to. However, personally for me, if I was the brand, it would leave an incredibly sour taste in my mouth because as you touched on, people want to actually believe that these people are wearing the clothes. They like the clothes. And for me, if I was a small business and I thought that I had a genuine working relationship with these influencers and they were simply just tossing my clothes away, I would be really pissed off.
Especially when it's being done so publicly. And these influencers are earning so much money. Have they ever thought of just donating the clothes to charity?
Oh, but the other thing is this business is being promoted as very eco-friendly and against fast fashion. So they're basically, you're already labeling the business you're working with as fast fashion, yeah. Someone who's doing the wrong thing.
On that topic of fast fashion, I watched a documentary recently on the fast fashion industry and I was so disturbed to hear that it takes 230,000 litres of water to make one cotton shirt.
That is just so scary. And the thing that disgusts me is a lot of these fast fashion brands, all they promote is excessive consumption and disposal of these goods.
Well, influencers are really adding to that notion because they're never seen in a different outfit. Every Instagram photo they upload, they're in something new, obviously because they have these clothes at their disposal. The positive thing is there are some influencers who are doing the right thing. There's Olivia Rogers, who is often promoting outfit repeating, which I love because let's be honest, I usually wear the same thing over and over again. I mean, I do remember back in the day going out and about at night, which seems like a very long time ago. And I know there was pressure to wear a new dress. However, we really need to stop putting that pressure on people. And I think, I mean, Instagram just makes it so normal to be photographed in a different outfit every day. And that's just not realistic, nor is it good for the environment.
Can I just say, has anyone heard of Depop? I mean, I'd love to know how much Caitlin and her waistless company is going to be paid to pick up these clothes and take photos of the clothing. I mean, it's like, oh, these influencers are too busy. What do most of them do all day? Yeah. Aren't they known for taking photographs? So we're meant to believe that they can't even take a photograph of their own clothes, potentially put it on Depop.
But they've already got the photo because they've taken it for the brand.
Yeah, exactly. It's already done.
And as well as Depop, there's the Hunter Markets in Melbourne where a lot of influencers already sell their clothes. So it seems like Caitlin has taken some inspiration from that. A number of influencers also have their own wardrobe pages where they already sell clothes. So it's obviously not something new.
Well, of course, for us plebs, there's also Facebook Marketplace, which I have been known to sell my own clothes on.
Can I ask a question? Is there a difference between if an influencer sells something that they've just been gifted? So they've been gifted to post about it. Because I feel like I don't think that that's as bad. But if you've been paid by the brand to promote it.
No, but I don't agree because, okay, so maybe if it was White Fox had gifted Shani Grimmon something and she doesn't have any kind of relationship with the brand and she just passed it on and sold it, perhaps. However, if it's a small business who probably allocated some of their small budget to sending a item of clothing to Shani Grimmon, as an example, and she just then made money off it, that would be different to me.
But what if she shared it? Because clearly the brand's getting value by that person sharing it, but she's actually not physically being paid. She's being paid by the item.
See, I think it's a business. I don't think that if you're a clothing store and you send an influencer a shirt without any payment, I don't think that the influencer has to pose in the shirt at all. I don't think there's any sort of...
No, I'm not saying that, but if they don't pose in the shirt and then they sell the shirt, I think that's wrong.
Just give it to Vinnie's and the Salvos. They always need stuff.
Do you know what I find quite funny about this whole thing? That the idea has been created, well, it seems to be have been borrowed by the Hunter Markets, but the idea is being launched by someone who is basically known as being an influencer's best friend. Now, doesn't this just seem like an idea that one of the influencer's best friends does? Because it's basically like, I'm going to make it really easy for you to sell your clothes. I'm going to photograph them. I'm going to put them up and I'm going to make a little bit of money off it. But now it's just on a platform.
She's the Kim Kardashian to the Paris Hilton. Maybe Caitlin is going to take over.
Can I just say though, I think it is great for young people to start businesses and good on her for having a go. But I think that this business idea is shrouded with so much hypocrisy that it seems like she is literally biting the hand that is feeding her, which are these fast fashion brands. I mean, she was recently invited on a fast fashion trip.
Yeah, Caitlin and Madison recently attended Beginning Boutique staycation at Whale Beach. That was only a few weeks ago. Caitlin has also promoted brands on her Instagram like O Polly, Nasty Gal, and Princess Polly. So it seems really odd to build an influencer career on promoting these fast fashion brands and then bring out something that is against these brands.
It's not so much for me that she seems against these fast fashion brands. It kind of seems awkward that she's pointing out that the clothing needs to be disposed of ethically, and also the fact that she's profiteering and double dipping into the profit margins that she's already receiving from the brands.
She is completely double dipping into it. I think, though, I disagree. I think she is actually rivaling the companies, because if I'm a fan of her or Madison or whoever the influencer is that she's got on her platform, I'm not going to be buying the clothes from Princess Polly,
but
I'm going to be hopping onto Wasteless and I'm going to be buying the cheap version of
But there's only going to be one item of the clothing. Like, yes, of course, there might be one person that then doesn't buy from the platform and gets a bit of a discount. And I'm presuming they're only going to have a very small selection of clothing sizes available.
The thing is, Caitlin's been quite clever here. She obviously sees that her roommate and best friend is being given all of these free clothes constantly. You just have to look at Madison Woolley's Instagram, and every day there is a new ad up for a fast fashion brand. So she's obviously noticed this and seen that this is a lucrative market. These influencers need to get rid of this stuff, but it's just done in a really stupid and hypocritical way.
But it's not the money, Eddie.
What is it?
It's the horrible realization that I must have actually enjoyed playing ping pong.
Let's get into the influencer rap. Now, Lily Brown has gone on a 8-minute rant on her Instagram story about her stay at the Ritz-Carlton in Perth. So she was there with influencer Em Davies to celebrate Em's birthday, and the pair stayed there for 2 nights at the luxury hotel. Now, Lily told her followers that the hotel cost $800 a night. Now, after her stay, as I said, she went on a massive rant because she wasn't happy with not getting her drinks on time.
Do you know what I loved about the rant? She started off the Insta story by saying, "Now, a lot of you guys have been asking me to review the Ritz." I felt like saying, "No one's asked you. You're clearly using it as an excuse for your rant."
Now, let's just throw to a couple of key points from the rant.
They took about 45 minutes to come up to the room, and we tried them, and they tasted like straight up mouthwash. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, and I'm not being pedantic, but it was $47 for 2 margaritas that tasted like mouthwash. So obviously, I just like was not happy with that naturally, as that's a lot of money for 2 drinks. So I just called them back and I said, "Is it possible to have, like, can you take these back or get them remade? Just because they just don't taste like a normal margarita, and I would consider myself a margarita connoisseur at this point." Would
oh,
you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Has anyone else noticed that influencers keep calling margaritas margs? Now, I don't know if it's just because I'm not cool and up with the lingo.
I feel like the marg is now the Aperol spritz of the 2020.
Or the spicy marg. I keep seeing these margaritas with a little bit of chili in them.
Can we get back into Lily Brown's marg?
Yeah, well, she seemed very unhappy with the time it took. But for me, it just screamed out the fact that she wasn't happy because she wasn't getting these services for free. Now, Lily has received a lot of all expenses paid trips. So I know she would have many different trips to compare her experience with, but I felt like this seemed very out of taste, especially considering the tourism industry is really struggling at the moment.
That's the thing, they would be incredibly understaffed in these hotels. Hotels are struggling so much at the moment.
It just seemed petty, to be honest, because you're going to get on your Insta story and rant about a business for 8 minutes because the margaritas tasted like mouthwash, you claim.
What I found really in poor taste was the fact that the hotel actually gave them the margaritas for free. They then also gave them a complimentary glass of wine. Now, there was an error with the bill when they went to pay for their room. However, they crossed it all off and everything was sorted out. So it seemed very unfair that she went on this rant.
God, I can just imagine them would have been like, "Do you know who we are? We want those marks for free."
I love this story comes off the back of you complaining about not being up high enough in our hotel room in Penang.
That's different. I don't have a platform where I can.
But you didn't go on Instagram and complain about it. You just gave them shit and then they rectified this
situation.
There's
nothing wrong with complaining, but I feel like when you're an influencer who's in quite an entitled position to go on and blast a company like that because your margaritas weren't to your liking, which they refunded, seems a little bit petty.
And I'm sure that you can afford the $47 margaritas as well.
The thing that annoyed me, it was like, oh, and the margaritas were $47 and there was a toasted cheese sandwich for $18. Don't tell me you can't afford that. How can someone who earns a lot of money complain about the cost of a sandwich? They're probably one of the only people that can afford a bloody $18 toastie.
Let's move on to influencer Shani Grimmond. And on Wednesday afternoon, Shani shared on her Instagram that she feared she may have breast implant illness. Let's have a listen to what she had to say.
I've been doing everything necessary to be feeling great, and I'm not feeling great. So I need to Google breast implant illness and like get my bloods done and check what the fuck is going on, because I am laying on the couch at 3:40 just wondering what's happening with my body. If I have to get my boobs taken out, that's not gonna look cute. Oh shit, it's not funny. I just, oh, honestly, I haven't done any research about how you can get sick from having fake boobs, but I've been seeing a couple of people get their implants taken out and it just seems to be floating around the internet a little bit more and becoming more common, or maybe just like, you know, more noticed. So I just am scared to go and Google right now. I really hope it's not that.
I think it was very brave of Shani to share how her breast implants are going, because she very famously uploaded a vlog about her breast implants in 2017. Now, the vlog got over 1.5 million views, and since then she uploaded several other videos about her experience. And the experience so far has been mostly positive, so I was quite surprised to hear that Shani was having issues.
Well, I think she's so raw and honest about things. I think really brave that she opened up about it, because so many people would try and hide it, and I think it shows so many other young women who may be experiencing the same symptoms as her to maybe go and check it out.
Well, Georgie Stevenson is another influencer who has shared the experience of fearing that she does have breast implant illness. She recently put up a vlog where she talked about her breast implant removal surgery and how she felt tired, had brain fog and memory loss. And I think that was also really brave of her to share, because a lot of people would be experiencing these symptoms and might be unaware what is actually causing them.
Well, I think the scary thing is that women get these done so young when they're just getting onto the pill, or they don't really know their bodies yet.
Yeah.
So they just assume that they're supposed to feel this way. And I think it is really good that these large influencers are speaking out about their issues, because it may make people click and realize that's why I'm feeling this way.
Look, I'm going to be completely honest. When I was doing a bit of research into this story, I felt quite uncomfortable going onto YouTube. When I typed in breast implant vlogs, so many influencers that I actually didn't realize had breast implants shared their experiences about getting them. And for me, obviously, women are allowed to do whatever they want with their bodies. And I do feel for influencers, because their job is literally staring at photos of themselves all day, you know, putting them out there onto different platforms and probably getting a lot of trolling back. And I know there would be a lot of pressure for them to have perfect bodies, but I suppose what kind of scared me was the fact that I saw the likes of M. Davies, Ashley Bynes, Elle Darby, Talia Skanes, Brittany Saunders, Brooklyn Kelly, Tasha Whitmore, Shan XO, all these women who have gone onto YouTube and shared their breast implant, you know, journeys with us. However, it now seems to be emerging a few years later that these poor women are now having really bad experiences with the breast implant. So to me, I hate seeing that, but then I hate to think how many other women have been influenced by these initial videos of their breast implant surgeries, have gone and got them, and are now feeling really shit as well.
Yeah, it is really tough, because a lot of these influencers are young themselves, so they too have been influenced to look this way and feel the pressure to look this
way. Well, it's like it's funny, because I was watching Talia Skanes' vlog last night, and I only feel like it's when Reese or a male comes in and starts watching the vlogs that you realize that these influencers really fit a certain mold. So Talia and all their friends were on a brand trip, and Reese was like, why are they all wearing the same thing? Why do they all look the same? And it's quite scary, because they really do. And they obviously really have been influenced to think that, hey, we need to have big boobs, we need to have blonde hair, we need to have tan skin, or we will not get these big brand deals or the followers and likes that will then, you know, help set us up on the right path for, you know, to be wealthy.
Is that a reflection of Instagram or a reflection of society and a reflection of a certain age? Because I feel like a lot of the influencers who are looking to cosmetic procedures are in their early 20s and they probably do feel really bad about themselves. And I think that's really sad. But one positive of the experience of them vlogging, because I can obviously see the negative side of it where people are feeling influenced to maybe get a boob job because they want to look like their favorite influencer. But there's also the other side where people might be put off. I mean, I've never personally wanted to get breast implants, but watching that, that confirmed to me that I never would because it looks like such an awful experience and so painful.
You mean the actual vlogs about it?
Yeah.
I know, but to me, it kind of makes plastic surgery, because I mean, we've had a discussion about this before, but plastic surgery really only used to be something for the rich and the famous. It was sort of out of reach. However, when the girl next door that you follow on Instagram and YouTube is getting it done, it seems like something that everyone gets done and it's really obtainable.
But that's why I think it's so equally important that these women do share the real stories of what it's been like afterwards. And I do think that they do undo some of that damage that they did in the first place.
Yeah, and we've got to remember they were extremely young when they got it. And I think it is great that they continue to share their experience with their breast implants.
Well, at the end of the day, it really is up to the individual what they do to their own body.
Now, moving on, Instagram account Celeb Spellcheck has revealed Sarah's Day's big Photoshop fail. Now, the influencer who prides herself on being raw was actually caught out Photoshopping into her photo a thigh gap. Now, Sarah's fiance Kurt had posted the original photo of Sarah in a one-piece bathing suit holding her son Fox back in May on his Instagram feed. Now, in the photo, she has a visible thigh gap. However, on Saturday, Kurt posted a video showing off his new Instagram presets, which featured the photo from May. However, this time, the thigh gap wasn't there. The Photoshop photo of the thigh gap has now been deleted from Kurt's feed. However, the video with the preset remains.
I have to say, I thought this was really, really sad that this has all come out because, as you said, Sarah does pride herself on being real and raw and honest. And I think it's really disappointing to see that they are Photoshopping these photos because how does that make young, impressionable women feel?
I think it is disappointing, and she's definitely not the only one to do it. We just have to look at magazines and Instagram to see that so many people are Photoshopping themselves and feeling the need to do it.
I think the awkward thing was the presets Kurt was selling were marketed as being designed for those special candid moments. And it's sort of like, well, the photo's not really candid because it's then been put through Photoshop and Facetune and what have you, and then has a filter over the top of it as well.
The sad thing is she looked amazing in the original photo. There was no Photoshopping that needed to take place at all.
I found it quite funny because there seems to be a lot of influencers following Celeb Spellcheck's page, and Sky Wheatley commented on the post that she couldn't actually see the Photoshopping, which was quite ironic.
Because the Photoshop is so small, like it was something that was so unnecessary to do.
Well, I think it's because she looked so great in the original photo, which is the really sad point. It was good enough to share.
Well, on a more promising note, influencer Steph Claire Smith has announced that she will not be using filters on her Instagram story. And I really love seeing her makeup free and filter free on her story, particularly now that she's pregnant. I feel like she seems so real and raw. And I suppose that's what everyone was up in arms about Sarah, because that's kind of her brand. And the fact that she has been caught out Photoshopping really brings a lot of different things into question over Sarah's brand.
Now, I don't think we can end this podcast without talking about influencer Madison Woolley's controversial clothing launch.
Yeah, we had so many people messaging us saying, please, we want to hear your take on this. And we also had a thread in the Facebook community. What are we actually talking about? The clothing itself or the wanky boat party?
Yeah, I think we should get into the clothes first. Now, as we touched on in the first segment, Madison Woolley really is the face of a number of fast fashion brands. And that's why it seems so peculiar to me that she is launching a brand that is based on very timeless pieces that you hold on to for many years. And while I think that's really good, it just seems so strange to me that she is promoting fast fashion constantly on her Instagram.
Can I just say though, there is no mention on her 23rd and Madison website whether the clothes are sustainably made, where they're produced. Are they fast fashion? There's no answers on the website at all, which if I was creating a brand and I had gone through all the process of creating something that was sustainable, I'd want to be talking about that on my website.
Especially when she uploaded 4 videos this week leading into the launch of the brand, explaining different bits and pieces about it. I mean, wouldn't you think if this was a main selling point of the brand, you would go in depth about the sustainability?
Well, I think one of the issues has been the cost of the clothing, a bit like Madison's coffee table book. These clothes aren't cheap, so a lot of questions have been raised about whether these clothes are sustainably sourced because of the price tag, or whether she's just profiting off cheap fashion, you know, putting the prices high and just making an absolute packet.
Yeah, it's really interesting because she is charging the same prices as established brands like Kukai, Beck and Bridge, Shona Joy, and there is no story about where these goods are coming from.
Look, I understand with the pricing that she's trying to put herself on the same sort of pedestal as those brands. She wants to be comparable. I mean, on her Instagram stories and her YouTube video, she shows a lot of clothes she buys from Kukai, and I could not help but see a lot of similarities between things that she had bought from Kukai and things in her range. Of course, everyone gets inspiration, but I feel like she is trying to be a brand like Kukai, particularly because the sizing isn't very inclusive.
Well, I have to say, it was a beautiful event. It was held on this huge yacht. It had her branding emblazoned on the window. There were balloons with her branding. There were pillows. It was a seafood buffet. It was a very exquisite event.
It was like an influencer event on ecstasy. Like, it was just all, everything, like anything you could think of, it was there, and no expenses were spared to put on this party.
My favorite part was the fact that Sammy Robinson was invited to the event. She, of course, has her label One Mile. And Sammy, being Sammy, missed the boat.
Oh,
so
really?
She had to get a boat taxi to get up to the yacht.
That was quite funny. I feel like that would be us if we were ever invited to an event. We would be late.
I won't hold my breath to be invited to that event. I've got to say, in terms of social media presence, it did get a lot of attention online, which is great branding for 23rd and Madison. However, it did make me think, how much money was put into the event and how much money is she making off the brand? As in, would that event have cost more than the profits she'll be making off it?
Well, one thing I picked up was, usually when an influencer sells a very consumable product like clothing, it sells out within a day. Like when Sarah's Day sells her activewear, it sells out in hours. There are queues on the shop.
Sarah's Day could fart in a bottle and label it White Fox and it would sell out.
Well, it's kind of like Chloe Zepp, you know, she drops a pair of bike shorts and she's made about 70 grand that day.
Yeah. And also when you go on the website, it usually has crashed and there's a lineup. However, all of the clothes are still available on Madison Woolley's shop.
But that's because they're a pre-order, similar to the book. I think she's not taking many risks with these lines, so there will be a large wait for those dresses to come in. Do you know what I found actually more interesting than that is the fact that she and her boyfriend Jonathan seem to be really wanting to portray their relationship in a very positive light at the moment. And that comes off the back of her podcast, where she has been quite open about talking about some of the struggles that she's had with him. And I just find it all a bit fake. I mean, she's opening up saying, yeah, we struggled so much. I almost cheated on him. Yet now they're Mr. and Mrs. Perfect online.
Well, it just sort of feeds into that whole Instagram life, doesn't it? And that everything has to appear perfect, but it's really not. One thing that got under my skin was the fact that every time Jonathan posted about Madison's success with launching her own brand, he had to keep referring to her as boss bitch. Now, I just found this really condescending. And I mean, I know we've spoken about it off mic. We don't like the term boss bitch or girl boss. Like, why do you have to point out that the boss is female? Does this not just denigrate women in leadership roles?
You would never say, oh, good job, boy boss. How patronizing is that? You were just a boss.
Well, I actually think the whole thing's degrading. It's putting down her achievements by calling her a boss bitch. I mean, I don't actually think that Jonathan was intentionally trying to be offensive either, but I think we need to educate people that that's really not a term that you should be using. And, he could have just said, here's the boss, Madison Woolley.
Or what's his fascination with being a boss? Are you just a business owner? Like, who are you the boss of?
Well, also, yes, the whole bitch thing, boss bitch, it kind of has this connotation that the only way women can be in charge is if they're bitchy and, like, domineering. which sort of annoys me because there are so many different female leaders that have different qualities. They're not all just bitches.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening to the episode.
If you did enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review and a rating.
And make sure you tune in on Thursday for our fifth episode of A Very Outspoken Christmas. I'm really excited for this one because we are talking about what to wear on Christmas Day and your beauty routine in the lead up. And this is something I have been hanging out for because I always have the conundrum every Christmas, when do I do my fake tan? Because I want it nice for Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Well, all those questions are going to be answered in Thursday's podcast and we can't wait for you to listen to it.
And if you do want to join in the conversation, come over to our Facebook group, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.